Welcome to my shamanic life at the intersection of yoga, shamanic Reiki, and wildlife conservation. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share the practices that keep me grounded, connected, and real as a yoga teacher, a shamanic Reiki practitioner and teacher, a wildlife rehabilitator and advocate, and a mentor for yoga teachers who are ready to share their unique gifts with the world as inspirational leaders and change makers. My life, like this podcast, is totally imperfect and extraordinary. You'll find the past episodes on myshamaniclife.com, as well as a link to Patreon. By sponsoring this podcast on Patreon, you are supporting the rescue, rehabilitation, and release of injured wild turtles by helping me purchase needed equipment. Visit dancingturtlewildlife.com to learn more about wildlife rehabilitation and my turtle bus. I'll be offering a yoga practice in a bit, and you're welcome to unroll your mat and join me. For now, wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Be aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth, anchored in, nourished, nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Over this past week, since I recorded episode 38 of the podcast, talking about the animals that were at risk, those that were endangered already from the Amazon wildfires and Hurricane Dorian hitting the Bahamas. And I was reflecting on my response, my reaction to what was going on, feelings of helplessness, feelings of despair, grief, and was considering a yoga pose that I had struggled with. And that pose is Kamatkarasana, which is the pose known as Wild Thing. A few years ago, I was on my mat playing and practicing and decided that I was going to move into that pose. It felt like a fun place to be. And I was on my own, doing my own practice. And when I flipped over into Wild Thing, my hand that was anchoring me was right on the edge of my mat because I wasn't being super mindful with my alignment. And as I flipped over, my hand slid off the mat and onto the hardwood floor, and it slipped. I kind of fell out of the pose, collapsed into my shoulder, and dislocated my shoulder. It was a mild dislocation, but it was a shoulder that I have already dislocated once about 20 years before. I realized what happened as soon as I did it. It took almost a year for my shoulder to heal. I was upset with myself for not being more mindful. And I also became afraid to do that pose anymore. And I haven't. I have not done Wild Thing in almost 4 years. Because I'm afraid. I have had to shift my practice into something gentler. I've been practicing a lot of yin and restorative. But I also am grieving the loss of the more active practice. This came to me while I was also thinking about the loss of species from the biodiversity of life on our planet, and how I grieve the loss and feel disempowered around it, just like I did around my asana practice. So I pulled a card today out of Kim Cron's The Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck. And the card that I pulled is the Golden Egg. And it's one of a group of cards that are her spirit cards in the deck. And each one of those cards in the spirit section has a chakra associated with it. The golden egg, she says, is the message at the center of the heart. The heart chakra is anahata in Sanskrit, which roughly translates to the unstruck sound. It's this pure love energy that can't be touched. And I have a very deep understanding of this energy, I think. But Kim's message with this card brought something else to light for me. She said that that sound that's deep within the heart holds a message, and the sound cannot be heard or the message discerned until we retreat from the noise of modern life. And the magical essence of the golden egg needs warmth, quiet, and time to unfold without rushing. And it invites introspection and contemplation. And as you move into that practice, it invites us to become very intimate with our own essence and comfortable with vulnerability. And when a feeling of tenderness or gratitude arises out of that, then you know that you're well on your way and your chest might swell with those feelings. And then I looked up Kamat Karasana, which is the Sanskrit for wild thing. And that roughly translates to the ecstatic unfolding of the enraptured heart. So here is this pose that I had been very focused on for power and fearlessness, when the real essence of this pose is heart opening. And I started to wrap that together with my sense of grief and was feeling into the way I was deeply holding these emotions that were arising out of loss and fear and powerlessness. The idea of being powerless, we usually associate with the third chakra, with the solar plexus, because that is our seat of self-will and our own internal power and how we bring into action those things that we're passionate about. But the other side of fear is courage. And the word courage comes from the word that means heart. Courage is an abundance of heart. Moving into whatever is coming with love and compassion and the willingness to grieve and hold that grief is not powerlessness, it's strength. So on that note, I'd like to invite you to explore Wild Thing with me and approach it with a solid foundation to develop the strength to open the heart, develop that courage muscle. Make your way into child's pose. Make your knees as wide as you comfortably can as you settle in into balasana, into child's pose, so that there's space for the heart and the belly to open and expand as you start to open up through the breath. Deepen your breath. Feel your forehead resting on the earth, connecting into that earth energy. Gently ease your tailbone back towards your heels so that your low back starts to open a little bit, making a little space there. Breathing into that. Feel into a little bit of stretch in the hips as your knees widen out. And bring your attention to the back of your shoulders. And draw the bottom tips of your shoulder blades down towards your hips and in towards each other slightly. And feel the way that presses the shoulder blades into your back ribs. Up a little space there. Take one more breath. And then slowly make your way onto your hands and knees. Walk your hands underneath your shoulders and bring your knees underneath your hips. Aligning in table pose. Connect in with that deep breath. And as you take your next breath in, draw your heart forward through your arms and lift your tailbone toward the sky, pressing your navel down toward the floor slightly. And as you exhale, round your back, lift your navel in and up to your spine to really lift the middle of your back toward the ceiling. Drop your head and tailbone. Inhale, draw your heart forward. Lift your tailbone. Press the navel down toward the floor so the back is arching. And as you exhale, round your back. Head and tailbone drop. And continue with your breath. Inhale, lift the heart. Lift the tailbone. And exhale, round into that dome shape. And continue at your own pace. Feeling your way along your spine. Noticing what's happening. Two more rounds. At the end of your next exhale, release your spine to a neutral position. Now walk your hands forward so that they're about a foot in front of your shoulders. Spread your fingers wide. Aim your middle fingers toward the top of your mat. And then gently claw down into the mat with the pads of your fingers. Press the outer ridges of your palms down. Press down through the base of your thumb and the base of your pinky finger. Press down a little bit more through the stretch of skin between your thumb and first finger. Feel the way your hands are making contact with the mat. Now put a little bend into your elbows and roll the inner creases of your elbows up toward the sky so that the points of the elbows start to work down toward the ground. And notice what happens as the head of your arm bone moves in the shoulder. Feel how it comes into the back of the shoulder, almost as if you were lifting it up onto the back ribs. Draw your shoulder blades towards each other and down towards your hips a little bit and feel the firming in the back of your shoulders and down into the upper back. Remember that firming. Curl your toes under, lift your tailbone toward the sky, and without straightening your knees, lift your knees off the floor. They don't have to come up really high. You might have your shins still parallel with the floor. You can be a little bit higher than that, but keep the knees bent. The heels can be up. Now press down into all of those places you've been pawing into the floor with. Push the floor away and ease your abdomen back into the top of your thighs, so that you're in a deep fold at the hip creases. Keep the hands pressing down. Let your head come down so that it aligns between your arms. The ears are about in line with the arms. And as you take your next breath in, press into the floor. Lift your hips a little bit higher so the legs start to straighten. And as you exhale, bend a little bit more deeply into the knees, sink back down into that connection between the belly and thighs, and then inhale, lift up again. Let the hips lift so you're not pushing the floor with your legs and feet, but rather with the hands lifting up through the hips, its core, and then exhale, sink back down into a deeper bend in the knees. Inhale, lift up. Let the legs start to straighten a little bit as if they're being hoisted up from up above. And then exhale, sink back down. One more time, inhale, lift the tailbone to the sky. Keep the elbows a little bit soft. Let the heels start to fall. We just warmed up the hamstrings a little bit. And hold there. with deep breaths. Allow some bend in the knees. Forget about where your heels are and bring your attention back to your shoulders and arms. Still got that little bit of bend in your elbows? Now turn the creases of your elbows up, points of your elbows down, and feel again the head of the arm bones move into the back of the shoulders, onto the back ribs. Draw the shoulder blades in and toward the hips, firming up that whole thoracic spine. Keep your head between your arms, so the crown of your head's reaching towards your thumbs, back of your neck is nice and long. Feel into the pads of your fingers, the outer ridges of the palms, particularly the base of the thumb, base of the pinky finger, and that stretch of skin between your thumb and first finger. Press down and push the floor away to ease the tailbone back a little bit more. Your heels might fall a little bit more toward the floor, but that's because the hips are lifting up, releasing a little bit out of the hamstrings and the calves and letting the heels drop. Take a breath here. Now look to your hands and step your feet to your hands so you're hanging in a forward fold. Keep your knees a little bit bent. Relax your upper body over your thighs. Relax your neck. Let your head hang. Let your arms hang. Take a couple breaths here. Lifting the tailbone to the sky. Now let your weight come back into your heels just a bit. Not that your toes and the balls of your feet lift, just enough to start to feel a little more weight into the heels. Bend your knees even more deeply so that you connect again your abdomen to your thighs. And then lift your heart until your spine is about parallel to the ground. Look ahead a little bit. Now float your arms back like wings, opening them out to the sides, palms facing in, reaching back through your fingers. Keep the weight a little bit back in the heels and your tailbone reaching back. And we're gonna keep the low belly and the top of the thighs together. Lift your heart just a little bit more so that you're starting to come into a very low Utkatasana, a chair pose. Take another breath in chair, and then as you inhale, press your feet down into the floor, straighten your legs and sweep your arms up over your head. Bring your hands together at the top, and as you exhale, release your hands down in front of your heart. Relax your shoulders down your back. Pause for a moment and feel mountain pose, Tadasana, this earth connection. Energy of the first chakra, the root, moving down the legs, out through the soles of the feet, rooting down into the earth. And reach up through the crown of your head. Taking a moment. Release your arms down and step your left foot back 2 to 3 feet. Turn your toes out about 45 degrees, which is not all the way out to the side. It's aimed just to the outside of the front corner of your mat. Bend your right knee and stack your knee over your right foot. If your knee easily flows past your foot, move your left foot back a little bit further so that you're challenging your pose a little bit more and keeping that knee in its proper alignment over the ankle and heel. The hip points face the front. Notice if your left hip point and following your left toes around. Press down into the outside edge of your left foot. So you're lifting the arch, lifting the inner ankle, dropping into the pinky toe, into that whole outside part of the heel. Feel how your shin bones shift into the outside of your leg. And then keeping that engaged, turn the front of your left thigh in and back a little bit. So in toward the right, then the inner part of the thigh goes back. And as you do that little bit of internal rotation in the top part of your thigh, you're going to bring your left hip point forward. Help to square that up. Keeping the hips square makes some room in the low back. Drop your tailbone toward the floor. Press down into the right foot. Feel how your feet are both very anchored into the floor. So we're still using that mountain pose energy in our warrior one pose. Now float your arms up over your head so that they're about shoulder width apart above your head with your palms facing each other, and soften your elbows, little micro bend in the elbows. Now just check things out. As you lift your hands up toward the sky, do you hit a point of compression between your arm and your shoulder? If you can't get your arms up overhead without that compression, soften, move your arms out and around a little bit, and then straight up. So we're moving the arm bone around the collarbone to get it behind. Now from there, draw your shoulder blades in and down. So the points of the shoulder blades are coming down and in. So your shoulder blades start to feel like they're making a really deep V down your back. Lift up through the heart. Reach up through your crown. And feel how here in Warrior One, that little bit of openness that we created in the heart comes from getting really solid through the thoracic spine, through the back of the shoulders, down into the back ribs. And so we can have this open heart in poses like Warrior One, but still be super strong in that heart space. The embodiment of the idea of courage. And as we open up into the heart space, we open ourselves up to being vulnerable in the heart, which means that we're opening up to things like grief. But with that strength, with that courage, that heart strength, we can still stay strong and move forward and be a warrior in the world, whatever form that takes, in spite of grief. Now release your arms down. Step your left foot forward. See if your shoulders need to shake out a little bit, or your legs. And step your right foot back 2 to 3 feet. Turn the right toes out to that 45 degree angle. Bend your left knee until your knee stacks over your foot without going past your toes. And if it does, move your right foot back a little bit more. And then start to make that right leg solid as you square up the hips by lifting the right arch, dropping into the outside edge of that foot. Feel the shin bones shift into the outer part of your leg. And then holding that there, start to rotate the front and inner part of your right thigh in and back. So it's almost as if your legs are doing things that are opposite. And that's okay, because it's in that dynamic opposition of hatha, which is the asana practice of yoga, that we create the stability. I'm feeling the hips square. Let your tailbone drop a little bit so there's no compression in the low back. Everything's open. And then lift your arms up to about shoulder width apart above your head. Putting that micro bend in the elbows. And if it's appropriate for you, because you need to move around your collarbone, open your arms a little bit wider and then circle them behind the collarbone and up. It's just a little subtle movement. The head of the arm bone moving around behind, moving on to the back, into the back of the shoulders. And from there, you might even be able to reach your arms up a little bit more through the elbows and through the hands without lifting your shoulders. Draw your shoulder blades down, squeeze the tips of the shoulder blades in towards each other, and feel that broadening of the heart space that happens as we strengthen the back of the heart and lift the heart from that strength. Open the heart from that strength. Take a few breaths just to be here, to feel the groundedness and the openness of this pose. Take another round of breath. And as you're exhaling that breath, let your hands come down and step forward with your right foot. Wiggle your shoulders, shake your legs. And you can wiggle your fingers a little bit or your toes. And check in with your body. Notice how things are feeling. Now bring your hands to your hips and rotate your fingers around the outside so that your thumbs are on the creases of your hips. Take an inhale, a little bend into your knees, and as you exhale, sit down into chair pose. Knees bending over the feet and the hips reaching back. Sink back a little bit into your heels so that your toes are lighter on the floor. Turn the fronts and insides of your thighs in and down. So again, we're creating a little bit of internal rotation, spreading the sitting bones so the tailbone can reach down toward the floor and open up the low back slightly, taking that compression out. Draw your navel in and up. So now we've got the core engaged. Sink a little bit deeper down and use your thumbs to dig into the creases of the hips a little bit and then start to pull the flesh out to the sides just a bit. So your fingers work their way around toward your buttocks just a little bit more. Notice how by getting the flesh out of the way, you can sit a little bit more deeply into your chair and just taking some of what's blocking it out and reminding you to stay really deep in that hip crease. Keep the tailbone reaching down. Now reach your arms up. And I'm going to invite you to bring your arms right next to your ears so they're still shoulder width apart. If necessary, circle your arms around the outside of the collarbones so that you can get straight up. Your ears are between your arms. Reach out through your fingers, particularly the pinky fingers, and at the same time, draw your shoulder blades down your back. Feel how we're firming and opening the heart. Sit just a little more deeply into your chair pose. Take another big breath in, and as you exhale, hinge from your hips and lower your upper body down over your thighs so your hands come down by your feet. Relax your neck, relax your head, lift your tailbone to the sky. Take a few breaths here. Now press your hands down into the floor. And walk your feet back until you're in downward facing dog. Lift your chin slightly look past your fingertips and float your shoulders over your hands. Flatten your hips into line with your shoulders and heels, coming into plank pose. Pause here in plank. If for any reason you can't hold plank, put your knees down. You can always go back and forth between knees down and up, or just stay on the tops of your knees. Keep your gaze forward. So you're looking out ahead of your hands, keeping the back of the neck long and reminding you to keep the heart open. Because if you drop your head and tuck your chin, you're going to start to curl that heart space up. Even here in plank, we want to stay open and firm up behind the heart. Press your heels back. Take the inner part of your thighs, roll them up toward the sky. So we're doing that internal rotation again. Your sitting bones are going to open up just a little bit. Reach your tailbone back through them. Draw your navel towards your spine. So we're getting really solid in our plank right now. And then, little micro bend in the elbows. Start to turn the elbow creases forward toward the thumbs and feel the heads of the arm bones move into the back of the shoulders. Draw your shoulder blades down and in and firm the thoracic spine. Back of your neck is long, looking forward. Body's flat, like you're truly a plank of wood. Take another breath. Press your hands down, lift your hips, soften your knees as you ease back into downward facing dog. Now from your down dog, bring your heels really close together, feet close together. And then roll over onto the outside edge of your right foot. Bend your left knee, turn it up toward the ceiling, and set your left toes down on the ground behind your right leg. Press your outer left hip toward the ceiling. Now take your left arm off the floor. Reach it up toward the ceiling. Press down into your right hand. Really start to paw into the ground with the pads of your fingers, the outer ridge of your palm, and move that arm bone into the back of the shoulder. Just like we've been doing, that little bit of external rotation in the upper arm. Turn your heart toward the sky and really press your hips forward and to the left so that we're getting some openness there. The left arm can open to the side, come up by the left ear a little bit, see where it feels good, but really focus on what's going on in this right arm, right shoulder. Take care not to lock your elbow. Keep it a little bit soft. Push the floor away and move that arm bone into the back of the shoulder. Press your shoulder blades in and down so that they're opening the heart, just like we did in Warrior One. We want that same space in the heart. One more breath. Now start to bring your left hand back toward the floor. Lift your left toes, flip up onto the right toes, put your left toes down, and come back into downward facing dog. You might pedal your heels out a little bit here, and if necessary, bring your knees down and sit into child's pose for a moment. And then we're going to do our wild thing on the other side. So from downward facing dog again. Start to feel into your left hand. Press down into the pads of the fingers. Soften your elbow. Feel how that arm is really anchored in the back of that shoulder. And then start to roll onto the outside of your left foot. So your left heel drops open to the left. Lift your right leg a little bit. Turn the knee up toward the ceiling. And then let your right toes touch the ground behind your left foot. Your knees still bent. Lift your right arm off the floor. Begin to rotate your heart open to the right. Press the hips forward and to the right so that outer right hip is really feeling this pose. The right arm starts to open up, coming up toward the ear perhaps, or a little more open in line with the shoulder. Draw the shoulder blades in and down. Feel the heart opening and then bring your attention into that left arm. So this is where I let go. When I had my traumatic experience with this pose. So keep your attention on the hands rooting down, on the arm bone being in the back of the shoulder. It's almost as if your arm bone is pressing the front of the shoulder around from behind. And find your courage in this pose. And wild thing. Take another breath. And then we're going to slowly begin to bring the right hand back down. Lift your right toes, bring your right toes back to the floor, flip up onto the left toes, and press back into downward facing dog. Go ahead and see if things need to pedal out there. Feel the energy of your pose. Take another breath. And then release your knees down to the mat. Walk your knees wide, bring your big toes together, and sit back into that wide leg child's pose we started in. Notice what it's like to bring the energy into the heart space. Feel the power that is in the heart, the power to move us through grief, through fear, and to do our work in the world with compassion and openness to being vulnerable, but not powerless. And walk your hands towards your knees. Let your upper body come up off your thighs. Drop your hips to one side of your feet and swing your legs around so you can roll down onto your back. When you get to your back, bring your knees over your chest, give them a hug. You might rock a little bit from side to side, making sure you're releasing any tension out of the low back. And then with your knees over your chest, open your arms out so that you're making a T with your upper body. And draw your knees towards your right elbow. Let them start to move down toward the ground. Keep anchoring your left shoulder down and roll your chin to the left as far as is comfortable. Ease into your twist. Take a few breaths. Bringing the breath down deep into the belly to start to release some of that core work. Meanwhile, the left shoulder is staying down, so the heart is still open. The shoulder blades starting to rest on the floor. As you take your next breath in, bring your knees back up over your chest. And then release your knees over to the left. Rooting down through your right shoulder. Roll your chin to the right. Breathe into it. Take an inhale and bring your knees back up. Give them one more hug. If there's any little movements that you need to do to settle your back into the floor a little bit more, and then release your feet down, extend your legs out. Separate your feet about mat width apart and splay your feet open. Pulling the toes to the outside. Relax your shoulder blades down into the floor. Move your arms out in a wide inverted V or T. Turn your palms up. Really let the shoulder blades melt into the floor. Open, vulnerable. being supported by the solid earth underneath you. Let your head feel heavy. Close your eyes. Relax your breath. And as I leave you to spend as much time as you would like in Savasana, final relaxation, I invite you to approach the challenges of this world, whether on your yoga mat, in your day-to-day life, or in the bigger collective challenges that we're facing now. I invite you to approach them with courage, with a strong but open heart. You know how to cultivate it now. Acknowledging the divine light in all beings that connects us and makes us one. Namaste.